Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Awesome. If you don't know Pastor Jamie, he is the newest member of our Summit leadership team here on our teaching team and pastoral team. And so why don't you guys give Pastor Jamie a warm welcome this morning as he comes to minister the word.
Listen, Pastor Chris says, listen, you don't need an introduction anymore, and then goes ahead and introduce me. It's all good. We're just, you know what, we're getting acclimated here. We are in the process. I've got my daughter Ryan with me this weekend, or she wanted to. There was no way she wasn't coming up for Sing Over Your City, and there's no way that I could get her to buy in that plane ticket. So she's here, fully invested, but she is also, Ryan, why don't you stand for a minute? Turn around, greet the people. Don't worry, there's one more service to go, so get used to it. She is actually the reason that the entire family's being delayed. So we're interceding. We have the intercessors fasting. You know, we've got the prophets prophesying that she just changes her mind and just wants to get up here early. But we honor, and when we've explained this and have maybe not over-explained it yet, but I'm sure that I will. But we have watched as our children have sacrificed many things for ministry, you know, and we put a high value on family, you know, and we really wanted to honor the request of her heart that she could graduate with her friends for grade 8. But Holy Spirit is mightier than the grade 8 graduation. So anyway, listen, it has been a wild week, and I have not been this tired not participating in a conference for a long time. That was good. That was a good weekend. Incredible worship. I am a worshiper at heart. I witness fully with John. You know, if I could just sit the rest of my life and rest, you know, my head on the breast of Jesus, I'm there. No, I don't need any other, you know, ministry. I don't need any other title. Just call me the guy who was at the table resting his head on Jesus. Man, I love to cry. I love to laugh. I love to yell. You know, and this weekend was a variety of those emotions. You know, I just had a blast, an absolute blast, and I want to take the opportunity to thank Pastor Nikki and Summit Sounds, or the Summit crew. I'm so impressed with what is going on here. We've been here, half a dozen times now. I don't know how many times it's been, but just watch as the different combinations of teams have led us in worship, and there is such a consistent flow that comes off of this stage. It's so impressive to see the culture, and I really want to echo what Pastor Chris was saying, is we cannot take this for granted. We cannot take this for granted. We are the ones who have the opportunity and ability to steward a move of God. And I don't want to be the one to say, oh, that's just God doing what God does and take it for granted. You know, we could sit in a place and say, that's God doing what God does, but still be in awe of him at every time. At every moment, at every turn, at every move, just stand in awe. Whether he's cured the hiccups or cancer, we still have that same awestruck emotion about us. It just hides in our hearts. And every time he does something that we don't expect, we're all, God did it. And he's thinking, well, of course I did. But you're thinking, wow. You know, God's like, well, what do you think I was going to do? Just sit there and do nothing about it? And you're like, oh my gosh, my hiccups are gone. Listen, if you've had a bout of the hiccups going on, you're like, God, just take this away from me. They're awful. Anyway, I'm not preaching on that this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is this. We've been sitting in this place talking about dreams. And the only reason that you dream is because God created you to do just that. Because God himself is a dreamer. God himself is a dreamer. Pastor Chris last week even hit on the power of a dream. And this is the question that he was asking. And, you know, when I listen to, you know, I want to stay in the know, and I want to stay in the now of what's going on in this house. And I'll just stick my AirPods in, whether I'm working out or cleaning my pool. I do have to tell this little story, though. A couple weeks ago, I'm sitting there, I'm cleaning my pool. I've got the podcast going on in my ear. And this is the week that Pastor Chris was talking about his issue with his throat. And I'm good. I'm good with blood and gore. I'm good with gutting animals. I can do all that kind of stuff. But there's certain things that set me off. And I'm cleaning my pool, and I had been in full knowledge of what was going on. I didn't know I didn't know what the doctor was saying, but I knew what was going on with him, and just kept him in constant prayer. And he's talking, and I'm like, oh yeah, man, that's a good report. You know, then all of a sudden he starts talking about this bone. And the moment that he said it popped, and the doctor told him that he broke the bone, I was like, who? Whew. Yeah, put that on double time. Get out of that right quick. I don't know what it is, and I don't know what it was about that bone. Oof. I could still feel it. Anyway, move on. But last week, the question was posed, why not? You know, why not? You know, Alexander Graham Bell, you know, all of these inventors, Thomas Edison, why not? Why can't I do that? Why can't I walk into this? Why can't I make this happen? Why can't I bring something into this earth that is needed? Why can't I? You see, Lou Engle said it this way. He said, when God created you, he created a dream and wrapped a body around it. I had a friend shoot me that text last night. He's been right on what has been going on in this house. He shot me that text. He knew the stream we were in, and I don't know if he found this, looked for it, but he shot this to me, and I thought, wow, that's incredible. I've not ever heard that quote before, but it fits nicely into where we are in this house. When God created you, he created a dream and wrapped a body around it. So I ask this question, and I'm gonna echo the voice of my pastor saying, why not? Listen, I want to read you something. I got to put on my glasses. We are under renovation. I don't know. We had to make the announcement, but I'm not sure why we had to make the announcement. You just look around and you say, there's something different about this. I don't know what it is, but something has changed. Yeah, and there's new people here. Oh, there's new people. I see what you're saying. You know, but I'm so excited for this season. Yeah. I am excited about this season. And anyway, come on. I got to keep focused this morning. I know it's 9 o'clock. I know we're all tired. And when I get tired, I get cynical. I get wild. I get crazy. You know, I don't know what I'm saying half of the time, you know, but why not? When people looked at things that weren't, that needed to be, they would ask themselves, why not? But so many of us are in this pursuit of a dream. Do this, dream. We're in pursuit of this dream that we get stressed out about. But really what it is your dream is waiting for you to settle down so that it can come and rest in you. You don't invent your dream. You don't come up with your dream. If you thought what you're doing was a dream that you came up with, you're dead wrong. Because God, as we know, created you. And when he created you, he created a what? Dream. And did what? Wrapped a body around it. You are God's dream walking in the earth. All your dream is doing is waiting for you to settle down and to stop so that it can come and settle in you. And so many of us think that the dream is something that's going to come from our hearts when all our dream does is it's something that comes from God's heart, settles in us. And if you're wondering what your dream is, why don't you ask the author what he wrote? Why don't you ask the author what he wrote? Because he writes the best dreams. And this is what God says. Why not? Why not? We look at the life of David, and that's why I brought two Bibles today, is because my Passion Translation, I don't know if yours does, but my Passion Translation, just turn with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to go to chapter 16. But we look at David. David, his dream found him. David's dream found him in a pasture, in a field, incubating in the love of God. David was so settled in with this love union with the Father. He wasn't concerned with anything else. He wasn't concerned with a title. He wasn't concerned with a ministry. He wasn't concerned with the kingdom. He wasn't concerned with ever being king. He was just satisfied being in that love union, in the field, in the pasture, tending his father's sheep. But God had another thought about this young man. God said, I am going to set a king in place who's after my heart. And the one that I'm attracted to is this young man who's been sitting here unknowingly ministering to me with his songs and his psalms and his prayers. He has been marinating in my presence, and I know that I've got him to a place where whatever I want, he will walk through. Was David perfect? Absolutely not. But did David have a heart that was after the Father? Absolutely. And there's no greater understanding that we could ever come to, but Psalm 51, after Nathan approaches him and tells him that you are the one who's been messing around. You are the one who caused Uriah his life and the young child that was in this woman. You cost them their lives. That's you. David didn't cut the head off a prophet. He got down on his knees and begged God for forgiveness. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who desired God more than anything. And when you desire a dream more than you desire God, you got everything twisted. And all you're working towards is calamity and catastrophe. But when you set God before everything, if you just want to be known as the one who loves Jesus, amen, to know him and to make him known, and that is the very beat of your heart, God knows he has you exactly where he wants you and can set anything in your lap and can set anything in your midst, and you will walk it out with integrity, that you will walk it out with God's best interests at heart. David just incubating in this field, in this pasture, unknowing the prophet is coming to his house to anoint him as king. Prophet walks into his house and says, listen, I need to anoint one of your sons as the next king of Israel. And he goes down the line, not him, not him, not him, not him. Well, we got a problem here, because I know that I know the voice of God, and I know that God sent me here. And there's a problem here, because something in this room is not adding up right now. Do you have another son? Historians will tell you that Samuel walked into the house of Jesse when David was between the ages of 10 and 13 years old. Do you have another son? Do you have, am I missing something here? I don't miss much. I don't miss anything really, because Samuel was the only prophet that not one of his words hit the ground. That means every single thing that he spoke and prophesied came to pass. He knew the voice of God, and he knew there was an issue. But David paid no attention to what was going on. And Jesse says, oh, you wanted all my sons. You wanted every one of them. Well, I have a son. He's just out there tending to my sheep, so I should go get him. Samuel's like, you think? David comes in, and as soon as Samuel sets his eyes upon David, the Lord says, that's him. Anoint him. That is my king. That is my son. That is the one that I want. And could you imagine a 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy standing there looking at the prophet of God as he takes a horn of oil and pours it out over his head and starts declaring things over him that in his wildest imagination, you have to understand something. God is the greatest dreamer there ever was. You are a vision from God. You are a word that was spoken from the heavens. The things that settle in you are things that he dreamed about before the foundations of the earth were laid. He looked at David before Jesse knew David and said, "There's my king." David didn't care. Just making sure the sheep had something to eat, making sure the sheep were cared for, making sure that everything was in order. Why? Because he honored his father. Because he honored his father. And all he wanted was to be, all he wanted was to sing songs and talk and pray and tell God how great he was. There he is, anointed by the prophet of God, listening and hearing words that were spoke from the throne room of heaven. And you know what the Bible says? Then Samuel just left. And you know where David went? "Dad, I got to finish the chores. I got to make sure the sheep are all right." With the word in his heart and the smell of the oil in his nostrils, David went back to the field. He went back to the place that he came from because he was serving his father's house. He was serving his father whom he loved. And he loved his father because he loved his father and vice versa. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we pick it up. This is what I love about God. God can come in out of nowhere. He can come in out of nowhere and change your life. He can come out of nowhere and set a dream in your heart that you never knew was your dream. David had no understanding of what was about to happen. And all of a sudden, the prophet shows up and changes the trajectory of his life forever. Say forever. Forever. And what the vision was for his life was eternal, because from his seed would come a ruler whose throne would never fail and never fade away. Then all of a sudden, and let me get my bearings here. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Then Samuel arose and went off to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed, from Saul, and a spirit from the Lord, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it will be that he will play it with his hand, and the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." You know where David is about to be invited to? The very place that he will rule from in the coming years. He's being invited into his dream. Not only was the dream imparted into him, now he's being invited into the very place he will rule from. And the only effort that he put into this was his relationship with the Father. So many of us spend time and waste energy seeking a dream when all our dream is waiting to do is for us to settle down so it can come and settle in. So many of us see the glorified ministry positions of the leaders that go before us and are around us, and we say, we want that, and we strive for it, and we waste our energy and our time trying to make something of ourselves, and all God's trying to do is say, settle down so I can set it in you. Settle down, because what I have is greater than what they have and what they're doing. And this is not for you, but I have something greater for you. I firmly believe that David would have been satisfied tending and serving his father's house for the rest of his life, because that's the way David was. In order to understand your dream, we need to know. Pastor Chris nailed it last night when he talked about the praises. You can only praise God to the place of your revelation, your knowledge of God. And to know our dream is to know the Father's dream, to know the Father himself and what he's saying, because the Father has a dream. And we have the ability to know the Father through our what? Beloved identity. If you read from the Passion Translation, go with me. Well, go with me anyway. But I like to read it out, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. I absolutely love that. I love the Passion Translation. Anybody read out of it? And I was a version snob. And I'm not going to try to offend anybody today, so I'm not going to tell you what I thought about other versions, but I was an NLT New King James guy. And I mean, King James, if I felt really spiritual and needed like a message for the older folk. That's funny. Come on, that's gold. I know it's 9 o'clock, but give me something. A courtesy laugh, anything. But then my wife actually started reading the Passion Translation before me. I said, baby, I don't need that stuff. Forget it. You go over there and you cry your eyes out and you read the Passion Translation. And then I got into it and I was like, you know, I'm an ugly crier. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it's good to laugh. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, in the Passion Translation, it combines 5 and 6 together, which is more amazing. For it was always in his perfect plan to what? To adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that the tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And his unfolding plans, or his unfolding plan, brings him great pleasure. His unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. We need to understand the Father, and we have the ability to do that through our beloved identity. Listen, you know what you call a child that is adopted? A son. Don't make me bring TJ up here and have him walk through the process that he went through with his son. And that boy has the same right as a biological child. They're not separated. If I walked into an orphanage and I looked at a child and I said, that one is going to come home with me, I don't separate him. I don't separate her. I set them in the place of a son. I do exactly what David did with Mephibosheth and said, listen, you will sit at this table continually and eat with me. Our identity, our beloved identity, brings us into this love union with God that allows us full access to everything God is, and to everything God is, and to everything God is. John, through his relationship with Jesus, allowed him an access to a place that not many of us get to go. Revelation chapter 4 in the New King James Version, it says this: come up here. You want to see what's going on? Come up here. In the Passion Translation, which is equally as amazing, I got to turn there quick. It says, come up into this realm. John was given an invitation to come up and view things that were going on in the throne room. All because of his intimacy, all because of his identity, all because he was the one whom Jesus loved and loved Jesus. He got access to all of this revelation. And I absolutely witness with what Pastor Chris said a few weeks ago when he talked about the book of Revelation. It's not necessarily a doomsday message. It gives us an inside access to what is really going on in the heart of the Father. We get to see it. We get to experience it. We get to know him. Listen, God has a dream and it's wrapped up inside of you. And the one thing that we can't do is we can't walk around wondering and getting all stressed out about what this dream is. I don't know what this dream is. I don't know what's going on. I got to find the dream. I got to find my calling. I got to know what it is that God wants me to do. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to stay at his feet until he tells you what to do. Till he opens up in your heart what he has for you to do. That's the only reason Jesus batted 1,000. He's the only one to ever get it right every single time. Why? Because he only did the things that he saw the Father doing. He only spoke the words that he heard the Father speaking. Your calling is to rest. Your calling is to sit. Your calling is to seek. Your calling is to worship. I mean, how many times this weekend did we raise our hands and all of a sudden we get a clear vision of what was going on in the heavens? Don't get me wrong. I love preaching. I'll take every opportunity that's handed to me to share and to sow in a message. But when you walk into a building and there's no responsibility upon your shoulder except to be there, and you lift your hands and you jump into what the Father's doing, and you get to just have that full investment, with not trying to figure out what you're about to say next, and you're just there and you're resting in it, it's incredible. That's our calling. That is our true calling. That's where God wants us. He wants us at his feet. John, by relationship, was personally invited into the throne room. Y'all know half my story. But let me tell you this. Before March 24th, 2019, Edmonton wasn't even on our radar. It wasn't even a thought after all the years of relationship that we had with Pastor Chris and Nikki. It didn't even click thinking that, hey, now that they're in Edmonton and there's no issue with the border and there's no issue getting down to them, we should go over and work with them. It wasn't even on our radar. And I want to promise you this, that before it was even on Pastor Chris's radar, it was in the Father's heart. And he foresaw this, and he looked and he said, there's coming a day where we are going to align brothers, we're going to align families, and we're going to do something great in a region that nobody expected. That God's vision for Edmonton is greater than our vision for Edmonton. That's why it's necessary for us to get into what he's thinking, to get into what he's seeing. There's a reason that God's aligning these things, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to take for granted what's been going on and what will be going on in this place not too long from now. But when we sat at that dinner, it was like God was rubbing his hands together, thinking that all of a sudden in my son is going to impart to my son what I've been thinking all along. And even though my son is stubborn and he's not going to listen to me right away, he will. He'll figure it out. But let me tell you this, church, and I want to be real with you this morning. I had every opportunity to miss it. Just like every single day, we have every opportunity to miss it. When we start setting our plans before his plans, we miss it. And I'll be honest with you, and this is one thing that you will always get from me, is honesty and vulnerability. I didn't pray about it. We got up from the table and I didn't pray about it. Just in my heart, because every past hurt, not from them, but every past hurt, every past thought, every reason that this could go wrong, every reason for me not to go, everything that we thought we had going on, just crept into that. And I made a decision in that moment, no. And in speaking to my wife, it was the same thing. Do you see yourself here? And I said, no. She says, yeah, me neither. But the more it stayed, the more it rested. You know what God says? Just let it rest. It's all right. Do you think David comprehended what was about to happen? Do you think David really understood what was going on? I don't. I think David stood there. I mean, we could bring a 10-year-old child up here right now, speak things to him, and he's like, what are you saying? Listen, Pastor TJ's there last night. What's your son's name again? Dax. I knew that. Dude's a baller, man. What you have in legs, he has in like, boom. That's gold. See, God woke you up now. But this is the best part is, you know, we've all been around Pastor TJ when he's worshiping. He's just, I mean, he's going for it. He's just like pumping. Dax is sitting there. He's got his fidget spinner. You know? Listen. I remember back in the day, man, we brought, listen, and I'm fully in to having our children fully invested in what's going on. I'm not worried about, oh, Holy Spirit's gonna, we're going to disrupt, you know. No, we're not. Do you think Holy Spirit's afraid of your children? Listen, maybe wake. Holy Spirit's like, whoa, wake's there. We would bring, so our oldest two, Sydney and Hunter, we would bring them to everything. They would, I mean, they were church kids, man. They fall asleep under the pew, fall asleep on the pew, fall asleep at the altar. It didn't matter. We had them in everything. We had them at youth camps, and they were up till midnight, 1 o'clock, just roaming around the altar. And I remember one service, youth camp. I mean, it was just, y'all been to youth camp before, right? Like, I mean, by Sunday, they're like, oh, what's going on? Monday, they're like, oh, this is kind of cool. By Wednesday, they're like, oh, man, by Friday, I mean, they're just, it's over. They're going to wreck the world for Jesus, you know? But he comes up and he's maybe 7 or 8 years old. And he comes up to the altar and he stands there. And he looks at me and he says, Dad, I feel weird. And I said, yeah, what do you feel like? He says, I just feel free. I feel different. I feel good, you know. And he just started weeping in the presence, under the presence of God. I mean, they'll get it. But David, could you imagine David standing there looking at Samuel, and everybody knew who Samuel was. I mean, he wasn't this hidden figure. And David's looking up as this man, this prophet is pouring oil over him, talking about being the next king, being God's anointed one. He's like, what are you? And Jesse's like, wake up, dude. Like, I mean, it's, you know, I don't think he understood. But he went back. He went back and God's like, it's all right. It's okay. It'll rest. And that's where we were. We were in that. We were too busy playing with our fidget spinner to realize what God was trying to do. And I'm 42 years old. Before March, it wasn't even on our radar. And I'm sure not long before that, it wasn't on Pastor Chris's radar either. But it was in God's heart since before the beginning of the earth. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. You don't think he's a dreamer? I'm thinking thoughts towards you. And I'm not only thinking thoughts about now, I'm thinking thoughts about tomorrow. I'm thinking thoughts about 5 years from now. It's to give you a plan and a hope. It's to give you an expected end. I'm thinking. I'm always thinking. I'm always dreaming about you. I'm always dreaming about what's about to happen. Listen, Zacharias had a dream. He had a dream for a child, a son. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And we get to a place, church, and we're not innocent of this. We're not innocent of getting to this place where we just stop dreaming. And some of us in here today have stopped dreaming. We don't dream anymore. Because we think that we've been so let down because every dream that we've wanted to walk out has not come to pass. Sometimes you just have to filter through and say, you know what? That wasn't a good dream anyway. That's not what God wanted. Why am I selling God short? Why am I selling myself short? But some things are just not ready for yet. For 20 years, I've been saved 21 years and in ministry 20 and a half years. Don't ask, it's a long story. But in the beginning, I knew, God, you know what? I knew I'm going into full time. I'm going to be, you know, I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life, just for you, just for you. And for 20 years, was in business, owned a business, you know, all of these things. And then all of a sudden, when I'm 42 years old, God says, now's the time. Well, God, how about 20 years ago? You weren't ready. Zacharias praying. All of a sudden, he stops praying. And then an angel visits him. And you know what the angel says to him? And this is a better translation. If you look at the original text, the wording that the angel used with Zacharias was this. That Zacharias, I'm here to answer the prayers that you no longer pray. I'm here to answer the prayers that you no longer pray. Your son will usher in the Redeemer. Could you imagine if Zacharias dreamt his own dream? You know, I just want a son who can help me around the house, who can walk into my priestly duties, who I can hand this off to. And God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Do not sell yourself short, son. Your son is going to usher in the Redeemer. God's thinking thoughts constantly about you. And if what you are living in now, you claim to be your destiny, you've lost vision. Not any one of us is done. Not any one of us will stay. Not any one of us will be in the exact place that we are in this moment. Because God's dream is greater than our dream. And what God wants us to do is just surrender and rest so that he can allow his dream to settle in our hearts. Turn with me to, well, I guess you're already there, Ephesians chapter 1. Again, Passion Translation. I want to read this for you or over you. This is verse 11. And if I can get somebody on the keyboard, that would be amazing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Let me read that over you again. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always, say always, always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Always. God doesn't miss a beat. You see, this morning I was up and you know, I have the tremendous honor of occupying the basement at Pastor Chris and Pastor Nikki's house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what would fit great today? A puzzle. And I was like, I know where one is. And then I went to where I thought it was, and it wasn't there. And one thing I'm not going to do at somebody else's house is rummage around. Not because I'm polite, just because I don't want to see something I shouldn't be seeing, you know? Nah, I'm just messing. Yeah. But listen, I just want you, and if we have one back in the children's room for second service, that would be incredible if I could see it and have it and show you. But you see, God, I laid this out at our house at one point. I had two men on either end. One was the younger version of himself, and one was the finished, accomplished version of himself. And I ran this timeline. But what we need to understand is the timeline goes far beyond us. This is why it's important that we set a good example here for them. Because they will continue the work and further the work that we continued from before. And God has a plan, and the plan is to, you know, rescue and redeem. And every one of us holds a piece. And if we had it, you know, there would be a finished picture of a jigsaw puzzle in each and every one of us. And this, you know, cliche as it is, it gets a point across. And each and every one of us in this house would hold a piece. And if one of you walked out of this house or one of you walked away with that piece, that puzzle would be what? Incomplete. Just one. But what God has done is he has witnessed the end from the beginning, and then systematically, in his goodness, set everything in place. God has a plan. And as great as his plan is, he's got a dream. And the greatest part of his dream is it's in us. I love that our pastor, she was so delighted with the testimonies and the pictures that she witnessed from the worship teams around the city. And that's but a piece of what God's about to do and release in it. It's but a piece, but it's a piece that is necessary. It's a dream. It's a dream that God set in her, and she was able to see the manifest. She was able to see the fruit of that dream. Verse 18. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Say imagination. Those of you who think that it's a horrible place to live in an imagination. Listen, the imagination of a renewed mind is a powerful place. Because before you walk something out, you always think about it. You always see it. This renovation is a result of an imagination. Could you imagine what it would be like if we took the T-bar ceiling out and it gave us another foot and a half in this place? Could you imagine what it would be like if we sent worship teams out to instrumental places in the city? God's thinking, could you imagine what it would be like if I set a church on fire in the city of Edmonton? Could you imagine what it would be like if those from that church would go out across the nation and into the nations of the world? See, God uses this. Because this is a powerful place. I pray the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light. Remember about the light. Come on, pastors have been preaching it for weeks. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. God just has us in a process. I'm going to ask you to stand. God has us in a process. David's process began long before the foundations of the earth were laid, but the process was set in motion when Samuel left his place and journeyed to Bethlehem. And Samuel married the process with the obedience of David when he poured out the horn of oil and spoke the words into existence into his life. And could you imagine for a moment, just close your eyes and think of this. And I like to get a picture. I like to see it. Could you imagine standing there and just watching David as he receives the oil, he receives the word. Samuel goes one way, David goes the other. And there's this process that has begun in David. And it's this process that maybe there was a question or two, but his imagination running wild. Did he literally say that I will be the next king of Israel? Did he literally say, wow, what would that be like? Listen, I want you to think for a moment. God, if you just allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do, where would I go for you? What would I do for you? And then we ask questions like this. God, you have a dream for me. And that's fine. And I'm excited. But Lord, let me just press into you. See, there was a pressing in David. There was a settling in David. There was a process that was happening in David that caused him to find a place where he was okay with not having all the answers. He was okay with not knowing what it would look like. He was okay with not understanding what tomorrow will bring. He was okay. Why? Because God is still good. Because he's still worthy. The songs that I sang about him before, I'm still going to sing. And God, even if it was just prophetic and even if it was just symbolism, it doesn't change the way I feel about you. And can I say it to you like this? It's how you handle the process of it all will determine your qualification for what God is calling you to. I don't know what's going to happen here. To be honest with you, I'm not concerned. Because I know the vision of this house is in God's hands. I know the directive of our pastors. They are fully okay with saying, God, we're just here and we are going to steward the vision. And I had every opportunity to hit the eject button on the process of God and be absolutely disqualified from living out what we know now is our dream. We could have said, forget it. We've got too much going on here. We're going to have a grandchild in November. We can't leave them now. But I made this determination in my heart long before I knew that there was a grandchild on the way, long before we knew we had three more children going to bless our house. There is no way that I'm going to set my family before God. Because if I set God before my family, he'll care for everything. If I set God before my vision, he'll take care of everything. If I set God before my dreams, he'll make sure that everything works out all right. And this is a specific altar call this morning. This is for those who have been stressed over a dream or a calling. That you've been so afraid that God has forgot to give you a calling or a dream. You're like, God, what is it for me? You spend more time asking him for a dream than you do just spending time with the dreamer. And he wants to free you from that this morning. And if that's you this morning, just find a place at this altar. I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to say, you know what? That's not me. Maybe it's me. If you're even considering that this might be you, you need to find a place right here. You need to just settle in so the dream can settle in. You need to settle in to the arms and at the feet of the Father so that he can nourish and he can fix and he can set straight and he can settle your heart and he can make sure that there's not a worry of you missing a thing, because you won't. And this is normally how it goes, a place of surrender. God, I lay it all down at your feet. Come on, get in with me. Lord, I lay it down at your feet. I surrender my thoughts, my anxieties, everything to do with what I thought it was to look like. I just lay down at your feet. And Lord, I pursue you. I set my heart and my affection upon you. And Lord, if it be that for the remainder of my days, I'm just sitting here resting at your feet, then I'm fine. I'm okay. Lord, break it off today. Break off the anxieties. Break off the worry. Break off the unhealthy wondering. Break off the striving. Break it all off, Lord. Break it all off, Lord. And let us find a place just marinating in the pasture, just incubating in a place, Lord. Just settling in to your presence. Lord, you're not worthy because you give us a dream. You're worthy because you are the utmost, the first and foremost, the above and beyond. Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, church, just start praying over them. Come on, church, just start praying over them. Come on, church, let the intercession arise. Just start praying over them. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for fullness and for being made whole. You are the mighty one. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I had this experience one time with, we had a guest speaker coming in. And this would be their first time. Well, they weren't coming in. They were just helping us in a morning session. And she asked me, she says, well, what do you want me to share? And my only response was this, is you have to know that the ones you're ministering to will be the ones that are fighting beside you. How would you equip them? And what I don't want to do is I don't want to make that from this standpoint. I don't want to make it from this standpoint. What I need us to understand, church, if we claim that we are family, if we claim that we are family, we say, I am taking ownership of this right now. And what I need is for them to find a place that they find comfort in just knowing God, because I know that when we go to battle, they're going to be the ones fighting beside me. And I need them in a place of health. I need them in a place of strength. I need them to know who they are and whose they are. So church, I'm gonna encourage you again. Just begin to intercede over these at the altar. Just begin to ask God to cleanse their heart, to make them whole, to free them from this mindset. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, to find a place of comfort at your feet, God. To find a place of worship, Lord God. We honor you and we praise you, Lord. You are mighty, God. You are mighty, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, there's just a real sweet spirit just moving at this altar right now. I asked our intercessory team to just be released, just to minister. It's a little bit, I don't want you to feel like you have to do the every week thing, just line up. You're free to go lay hands on those at the altar. If you feel like you need to be down here, I want to encourage you to come. Well, this is just a powerful, powerful word, and it's also a moment that I feel like we're in. There's just a real sweet spirit. So Nathan, why don't you just lead us into something? We're just going to give the Holy Spirit room to do what he wants to do this morning.